power. We thank you for your anointing, God. Lord, we thank you, God, you woke us up this morning with the mind stayed on you, God. And Lord, we just say thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. We thank you for the blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for your anointing right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, have your way, God, in this service, God. Have your way, Lord. Move by your spirit. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost move in this place right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Because it's not by power nor by might, but it's by your spirit. Holy Ghost, move right now in the name of Jesus. Heal, deliver, set free in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this service today. We thank you for the healing manifestation. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your anointing. Your anointing, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. Lord, move right now in Jesus' name. Let all God's people say, give them some praise. Amen. Thank God for his blessing. You may be seated. Amen. God is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. Amen. After that, amen, I'm almost ready to just say, give the benediction. That was a message within itself. Let's give him another hand praise. Amen. Amen. You wouldn't believe the gifts and talents that are in this church. Amen. God got everything here that we need. Amen. Amen. I thank God first, giving honor to God who is the head of my life. Amen. I thank God to the elders. Amen. I thank God for you. Amen. To the prophets, the missionaries, evangelists. Amen. That God have in this house. I thank God for my wife. Amen. Amen. My daughter, she told me don't say nothing to her, but I thank God for my daughter coming in. She know I'm going to say something. Amen. I thank God for her. Amen. God is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. Amen. And really, all yesterday night, about 10 o'clock, I looked at my phone, and I had, you know, Brother Child, Elder Don, Sister Tracy. And I'm like, man, I missed all these calls. What happened was yesterday morning when I got up, the Lord started pouring all this stuff into my spirit and told me to get up and type. And there's really one problem with that. I don't know how to type good. I'm a two-finger typer. Amen. But I know why he told me to type, because my writing is worse than my typing. Amen. So God started pouring into me, you know, and I just got up and started typing what he was giving me. And then, you know, me and my wife, we went and took care of some business, and I came back home and I got to typing again, you know, and it was just, he was just pouring so much into my spirit. And I was like, okay, God, you know, sometimes we want to ask God to slow down, because, you know, when God have a word for us, amen, we got to be obedient to the word of God. Amen. We got to be obedient to the call of God. Amen. Because I've been praying and asking God, you know, a message to deliver unto his people. Amen. I say amen for, amen, the pastor's grandchildren coming in. Thank God for them. Amen. 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 Because, you know, God is so unique, and he's, you know, when the spirit is moving, we got to move along with the spirit. Amen. You know, I think about that scripture when it said the spirit is, you know, willing, but the flesh is weak. And sometimes our flesh get a little weak, and our spirit is ready to move. Amen. But we have to get it to the point where We got to build up our flesh to where it can keep up with our spirit. Amen? Because, you know, God had gave me this some years ago that there's a battle going on between our flesh and our spirit. And the one that we feed the most is going to be the stronger. If you feed your flesh more than you feed your spirit, when trials and tribulations come, you will depend on your flesh to get you through the trials and tribulation. And 99.9% of the time, you make it worse. But if your spirit is stronger than your flesh, then your spirit will rise up within you. And you will say, I'm mighty through God, and I'm able to pull down strongholds. Why? Because I fed my spirit more than I fed my flesh. Because when trials and tribulations come, it's going to be the spirit. And the way that you know that the spirit is rising up is by knowing the word of God. Amen. The word of God is the greatest weapon that we have as Christians. Let me say that again. Because I don't think y'all heard me. Well, I'm in the wrong church. The word of God is the greatest weapon that we have as Christians. I think this side know what I'm talking about. I said the word of God is the greatest weapon that we have as a Christian. As a man or a woman of God, you got to have the word of God. When Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, when Satan came to him, what did he use? He used the word of God. Amen. I'm going to ask everyone to turn with me to Genesis 11 chapter. This is a message that I have preached during the 7 for 7 outreach. And so those who have heard this message before, this is a remix. Is that all right? See, they got it now where they make songs, you know, and they have it, then later on they come back with that same song, but they say it's a remix, and so there's a little bit more added on to it. Amen. So don't say I've already heard that one. This is a remix. And then as you find the scripture, Genesis in the 11th chapter, let me know you have it by standing. We got to give reverence to the word of God. More than we give reverence to men. Amen. Let's all read together. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the sand of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, come, let us make brick and brick them thoroughly. And meant brick for stone, and as stone for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top may reach up to heaven. Let us make us a name for ourselves. We be scattered abroad from the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that some men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they have one language, and they have what they begin to do. Now nothing they be privileged. You will hail from them. Let us go down there, find their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from the face of the earth. Therefore, his name of the city Babel, because God confused their language, all the earth. And from the earth were scattered abroad on the face of the earth. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to use as a subject today, when we become one, God will move. Amen? You got to understand, there's power in one. Amen. I think about Adam and Eve when Adam said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Is that we're one. When a husband and wife come into reunion, amen, they're no more twined and no more two. They're one. Amen. I know we're in a different time where now some women don't take the husband's name. Some men takes the woman's name. Amen. But with me and my wife, you know, when we got married, her name was Maria Teresa Stevens. But she became Maria Teresa Crockett. Amen. One in union. We as the body of Christ have to be one. Amen. This is Victory Christian Center Church. And we're all members of this body. Amen. But we have to be careful as members of this body that we do not allow the enemy to scatter us. I mean, I kind of understand what they were doing. They said, let us build us a city. Let us build us a tower. Lest we be scattered. In other words, we're one. We're talking the same way. We're strong in this. And they begin to build a city and tower. I really believe they would have made it to heaven. For one reason only. It's because they was one. They were so unified that what God... Even God said, whatever they imagined to do, they can do it. Whatever their imagination was, why? Because they were one. They didn't say, one said, let's build us a city and a tower. They said, no, let's build us a country. The other one said, let's build us, you know. They wasn't divided. We used to say, have a thing, together we stand, divided we fall. As the body of Christ, we have to be one. Because I'm going to let you know, anytime the enemy thinks that a sheep is without a shepherd, wolves come in. There are going to be wolves coming into this church to separate us. They're going to see the gifts and the talents that's in this church. And there are going to be some pastor wolves that's going to come in and start doing their itchy ear messages to you, speaking in your ear. Oh, they're not letting you. The only thing they're doing is letting you play the drums, and you're a prophet, and you're not able to go stand up and prophesy. Why don't you come into my church, and you can prophesy there. You used to be a pastor, and... I could use a good assistant pastor. They'll see that and they'll come in. Because the Bible says it's the little foxes that come in and destroy the vine. That's one thing I learned about a snake. If you take a snake and if I put a sheet of glass on this floor right here, and I put that snake on that glass, that snake would just stay there. It would not be able to move. But if I take that same snake and I put it outside in the gravel, that snake would do, because a snake gotta have friction to be able to move. And the enemy, when it sees friction within the body of Christ, that it can come in and move and come in and devour, come in and take away what God has already placed. So what Satan has done, Satan took the same thing that Jesus, that God did. When God scattered their language, for they weren't able to build the tower, Satan has tried to use that same method upon the church. And he calls us to be divided. One baptized in Jesus' name. Other baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. One submerged, the other sprinkled. And he has caused division amongst the body of Christ. Don't you know that almost every denomination that has been built up in the church today were built up under division? Because one said, you know, John the Baptist, and the other said Peter or Paul or whoever, and then they divide and build up another church. You wouldn't believe how many churches started up under division. God is not the author of division. God is in multiplication. That's why Jesus told Peter, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The reason why the gates of hell won't prevail against the church, why? Because we are one.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I remember some Catholic monks got together, and they were studying the scriptures. And they start studying about baptism. And some of the monks rose up and said, you know what? I believe that baptism should be from when you become an adult and accept Christ. But then the Catholic Church said, no, 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 no. We baptize them as a baby. And so they became an uproar. And they begin to kill every monk that believed that baptism should be as an adult. Martin Luther was one of them. So Martin Luther left the Catholic Church. And now we have the Lutheran Church. Menno Simon was one of those monks. That's why we got the Mennonite Church. Calvin was one of those churches. That's why we got the Protestant church. These are different churches built up. Why? Because of an argument about the scriptures. And then the greatest revival that ever been moved within the United States was the Great Azusa Street Revival. Ran by Minister Seymour. This revival started from prayer. Seymour was asked to come to a church and preach. And when he came and he preached, he had never had the Holy Ghost, never spoke in tongues, but he spoke on Acts 2. The church got mad and put him out. Now they had brought him into town to do this revival, and then they kicked him out for preaching about the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. And so these people, they told Seymour, come on to our house. You know, you can stay with us. Seymour was a man of prayer. So the man said that, I got up in the morning, Seymour was on his knees and prayed. So I got down on the knees and I prayed with him. Then I went to work. When I came back from work, he was still on his knees praying. Seymour prayed so much that the neighbors started listening to him pray. And so the neighbors start coming. The next thing you know, the yard was full of neighbors because they were praying. Out there praying. And while they were praying, the Holy Ghost came in. And people began to start speaking in tongues. Miracles started happening. The house became full, even to the point where they started breaking down the porch because so many people were standing on it. And they said, well, we got to get us a building. So they found the old barn on Azusa Street. And this revival was so powerful. This revival lasted for 3.5 years. Every day for 3.5 years. Nonstop. They said people will just walk by this barn and tumors will fall off. Just get healed. They didn't even have to go into the presence of the house of God. Just to walk by the house of God, they were healed. I'm looking for a day that happened here at Victory Christian Center. I believe that the Holy Ghost is going to move so powerful in this building that when people come in here in wheelchairs, they'll walk out and they'll leave their wheelchair. They come in here with canes, they'll leave their canes. There used to be a time when they would put the canes up on the wall just to show the devil. Hallelujah. I believe it's a time for the healing manifestation of the Lord to break out within the body of Christ. But the main key is that we have to become one in the spirit. Not one in the flesh, but one in the spirit.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But that revival lasted for 3.5 years, and the devil got mad and started sending in false prophets and false teachers to the point that the revival ended. But when the revival ended, the blacks, they went and started the Church of God in Christ. The whites started the Assemblies of God. Then we had the Holy Ghost movement. In other words, every time there was division within the body of Christ, guess what? More churches started up. Right now we got so many denominations, we don't even know what we are today. Now we got a new movement where it's non-denomination. But you still are not a denomination if you're non-denomination. Jesus said, I'm coming back for a church without spot nor wrinkle or any such thing. He's coming for a holy church. He's coming for a church that's not divided. He's coming for a church that are going through the trials and their tribulation together, because when we strengthen one another. Hallelujah. I think about Jesus when he was talking to Peter. He said, Satan ought to sift you as wheat. He said, but I'm going to pray for you. But after you have overcome, I want you to do something. I want you to strengthen your brethren. And that's why I'm here today, to strengthen my brethren today. Amen. I got mad last week. I had took Sister Gloria to the hospital. My wife had just got through with surgery, and she was sitting down. If you would ask her this week, she would say, he mean. That's what she was telling me. And I told her, because I did get a little loud, and I did get a little angry. But when we were talking, I said, I'm not talking to you. I said, I'm talking to the spirit that's talking to you. Amen. The spirit is trying to tell you you're dying. The spirit is trying to tell you you're not going to get up. The spirit is trying to tell you you're not going to stand up in front of the church and do flags anymore. The spirit is trying to tell you that you're not preaching the word anymore. The spirit is trying to tell you that you're sick. I command that spirit to get out of my house right now in the name of Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
Satan has tried to inflict this congregation with sickness. It seems like every week somebody else is going to the hospital. Satan, I bind you, I cast you out right now in the name of Jesus. Take your filthy hands off of God's people right now. In the name of Jesus, I decree, I declare healing. I decree, I declare deliverance. Holy Ghost, move right now. In the name of Jesus. Satan, I put you under my feet where you belong. It's time for the people of God to begin to take the authority that God given us. When Jesus died on the cross, the scripture said he went down to hell. But when he went down to hell, he did something. It said he took the keys. What it was? See, when he went down there, they died and they thought they had him. They thought they had defeated him. See, but there's a reason why he died on the cross for our sins. Because he had to finish his mission. And part of his mission was going down to hell. He didn't ask Satan from the keys. The Bible says he took the keys. In other words, he snatched them out of his hand. He said, these are my keys. But then when he came back, he told his disciples, he had the keys, and then he said, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. He has given us the keys. Satan don't have the keys no more. Jesus don't have the keys no more. We got the keys. Guess what? Since we got the key in his name, we can cast out devils. We will speak with new tongues. And we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And if we drink any deadly thing, guess what? It won't even harm us. If we get bit by a snake, guess what? We can shake it off. Whatever the enemy is trying to do to you today, somebody shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Guess what? Because we have the keys to the kingdom. Hallelujah. We have the keys. God testified for these people. And God said these people are one. And what they have imagined to do, they can do it. It's time for God to make us one in the spirit. Hallelujah, preaching and teaching the same thing. Standing upon the same word. Hallelujah, that way when wolves come in here asking us questions and trying to see how we run this church, we all say the same thing. We all stand on what the pastor has taught us. The pastor taught us the word. And we got to stand upon the word. We can't waver from the left or to the right. We got to walk the straight and narrow way. Our pastor lived a life before us, a straight line. He didn't waver, and he don't want us to waver. We got to stand up and be strong in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When we become one, God will move in our midst. I think about the book of Daniel, about the third chapter. There was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wanted them to bow down to a golden image. They didn't hear the trumpet. They heard the sound. But they wouldn't bow down. And he said, my God. My God. I know he's able to deliver us from the fire. Hallelujah. Shadrach didn't say one thing, and Meshach said another. They all spoke as one. And when they went into the fiery furnace, hallelujah, the king got up and he looked in the furnace. He said, Lord, something's going on here. Lord, I thought we put three in there, but I see a fourth one in the furnace. And the fourth one, he's the Son of God. How did he know that there was the Son of God? Because flesh and blood did not reveal it to him. But the Father that was in heaven, God will reveal things even to a wicked king. God, so what you think God would do for his people? Hallelujah. And what thing I think about them, when they went in the furnace, they were bound and chained. But my Bible tell me, when they were in the furnace, they were loose. They were in the furnace. They were dancing in the furnace. They were praising in the furnace. They were worshiping in the furnace. Some of you right now, I know you feel like you're in a furnace. The devil has turned up the heat seven times hotter. But I believe if you just start praising him. Hallelujah. Praise your way. See, I tell you, see, we got it all mixed up. We think we need to praise him after we get out of the furnace. No, you got to start praising him while you're in the furnace. While the furnace is hot.
while the furnace is burning, while all hell is breaking loose, while your children are all messed up, while your husband is acting up, while your wife is acting up, while your neighbors is acting up, while drugs is in your neighborhood, while prostitution is in your neighborhood, that's when you need to start praising him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now is the time to begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Jesus told his disciples, he prayed one time. He said, Lord, make us one. As me and the Father is one. See, Jesus knew him and the Father was one, and he wanted his disciples to be one. In the same way, we are his disciples, so he wants us to be one. Amen. See, when one day, in the book of Acts, in the second chapter, they was all assembled in one place. Bible says about 120 of them. And they was on their knees praying. Now, this is my message. I believe somebody said hallelujah. See, there's a reason why I said that. I think they said hallelujah. See, if this one thing about the word hallelujah. If you go to China and you say hallelujah, they know what you're talking about. If you go to Africa and you say hallelujah, they know what you're talking about. Hallelujah is a universal word. Wherever you go in this world, only thing you got to say is hallelujah. 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 I believe one of the disciples, it might have been Peter, I don't know, but he said hallelujah. And James and John call hold to them, and they begin to say hallelujah. And Matthew and Luke begin to say hallelujah. So everybody begin to say hallelujah. And then the Bible says suddenly. I gotta take my coat off for this one. It says suddenly something happened. They heard a sound from heaven. Because God was up in heaven. And he was sitting there with his angels. His angel was going around praising him, saying, holy, holy, holy. Oh, Lord Almighty. Well, I believe God says, I hear something. He told him, I don't know. This is my message. He told the angel, cease for a minute. Something's going on in the earth realm. And I believe God heard them saying hallelujah. And my Bible say we know not what to pray for. But our spirit make intercession with groans and moans that cannot be uttered. And I believe Jesus that was sitting on the right hand of the Father stood up. And he said, my disciples, they finally got it. And so he translated to God what they were saying when they were saying hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he told God, I said, I told them to go to Jerusalem and stay there till you be endowed with power. And so Jesus told them, God, send them the Holy Ghost. They ready for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm here today to tell you that we are ready. We're ready for the miracles. We're ready for the power. We're ready for the outpour. We're ready, we're ready, we're ready, we're ready. Hallelujah. Then suddenly, like a rushing mighty wind, it filled the house. Everywhere they was at, they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost came in. Why? Because they were one. There was one that was united in the Spirit of God. And that's why the Holy Ghost came in and fell on them and empowered them. They had so much power that when they walked out, they were still speaking in tongues. They were drunk in the Spirit. The reason why I said they were drunk in the Spirit, because the people started outside, so I said, look at them. Something wrong with them. They must be drunk. But Peter being the rock, he said, we're not drunk as you think. but this is that. Somebody said, this is that. He said, this is that. In the last days, I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters, they begin to prophesy. Your young man to dream dreams. Your old man to see visions. This is that. We're living in such a time as this. This is that. This is the time. This is the moment for this church to rise up. To rise up and go to the next level. The pastor took us as far as he can take us. Now it's time for us to take the mantle and go over across the Red Sea. I go over to Canaan land. I'm going to where the milk and honey, where God has blessed us. The Bible tells me that they were so walking in the spirit that when they walked down the street and their shadows were cast, people were healed. The Bible said that they turned the world upside down. I'm not a prophet, but I'm going to prophesy over this church right now. It's time for this church to go forth in this community and claim this community. And when we claim this community, drug houses are going to close down. Liquor stores are going to close down. The Holy Ghost is going to move so powerful in this church that we're going to take over this city. Hallelujah. When people talk, they're going to say, what's going over there? At Victory Christian Center. Hallelujah. God is going to bring them in. The prayer the pastor prayed. From the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. I'm going to tell you something. They're going to come in here drunk. They're going to come in here high. But when they leave out, they're going to be a changed man, a changed woman, a changed teenager. Hallelujah. The teenager is going to start obeying their parents. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Everyone standing. Holy Spirit. I'm just halfway finished, but Holy Spirit. My brother Jay liked to say this. Lord, inject. Inject right now your spirit in this place right now. God, you know why they're here today, God. You sent here who you wanted here for this message for such a time as this. I'm praying right now a special anointing right now in the name of Jesus. Anoint us for your service right now. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We say yes to you. We say yes to you, Lord. However you want to use us. Lord, use us, Lord. However, Lord Jesus, magnify yourself within us right now. We become a church unusable. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, I'm praying right now, God. Even when we begin service, hallelujah, that the Spirit will fall in. We might have the healing before we have the preaching. Hallelujah, Lord, you just have your way, Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus, your anointing. Stir up every gift, every calling right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I double dog dare you to give him some praise. Give him some praise if the people across the street hear you. Don't praise him for the people that's in here. Praise him for the people that's outdoors. Hallelujah! 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 Glory, 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 glory! Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. You may have your seat if you can. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Keep praising him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. If God has moved on your spirit to go lay hands on somebody, go lay hands on them right now. Hallelujah. Be free in the spirit. Hallelujah. So many times the Spirit of God is telling me that he will auction on us to do something in the house of God, and we just sit there thinking somebody might get upset. Only person going to get upset is the devil. So whatever God is leading you to do right now, get up and do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh! Hallelujah. God is raising up ministers right now. Hallelujah. Well, husband, begin to pray for your wives. Wives, begin to pray for your husband. Mother, begin to pray for your children. Hallelujah. Father, begin to pray for your children. Hallelujah. Raise them up before God right now. Yes, 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 yes. Glory, 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 glory. Yes, 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 yes. What the Lord was what gave me yesterday when I got up yesterday morning. First, he had me write, how can we come into alignment? And so he began to minister to me about how we as the people of God can come into alignment. If you search the scriptures and look at the teachings of Jesus, I can wait for the Holy Spirit. Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Stand in his power. Stand in yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Yes. Fix it, fix it, fix it.
You tell that lying devil, you stop praising him.
Yes.
Stop praising him. Hallelujah. When the devil tells you to put things in your ears and in your head, you start praising God.
Praise God.
You start praising God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, Lord. God is just good God. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? Ain't God good? I'm going to let God just use her. I'm going to give you what God gave me. Amen. Yes. Move in your armor. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Yes. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. The Spirit of God was that led me that when Jesus was teaching disciples, there were certain things that Jesus paid that when he taught them, we got to look at the way what he was saying when he was teaching them. And there were five areas that I feel like he put great emphasis on and within his teaching. The first one was prayer. He said, when you pray, be not like the Sanhedrin, that they stand in the street and make their faces to appear unto man, you know, to pray. He said, when you pray, enter your closet. And without doing secret, God will reward you openly. Amen. So God began to deal with me on the word, you know, in prayer, you know, that prayer is a way that we communicate with God. Where he allowed us to talk to him in supplications, thanksgiving, afflictions, adoration, confession, and worship. Amen. So God was, he was dealing with me about there's different ways that we pray and different, there are different times where we should be praying. But prayer should be a daily thing within the body of Christ. The scripture said man shall always pray and not faint. If you find yourself, if you find a man or woman that's fainting, I guarantee you they have a weak prayer life. Amen? Because we, you know, Bob said, you know, we need to pray without ceasing. In other words, prayer should be continually always upon our mind within our lips. I mean, we can pray talking, but we also can pray within. But we've got to constantly communicate with God within our prayer life. The second thing was fasting. He said, when you fast, anoint your head with oil and not appear unto man to fast. What that means is don't be going telling everybody you fasting. Oh, I can't talk to you today because I'm fasting. You know, they have their reward. In other words, when you start telling people that you're fasting and they start and whatever praise that they give you for fasting, that's your reward. That's the reward that you're going to get is from that whatever they give you, not the reward from God because you desire to get it from man. In the scripture, different people have fasted. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, tempting of the devil. The Bible said that he didn't eat or drink. But the scripture said that after 40 days and 40 nights, he hungered, but it didn't say anything about thirsting. So I'm not sure on that. The Holy Ghost didn't give it to me. But in wisdom, if you're going to do a long, extended fast, drink water. Amen? To be wise, especially when you live here in Florida. Because it gets hot here. And we don't need nobody dying from exhaustion. And if you're going to go on an extended fast, like 40-day fast, make sure that you prayed up and you're being directed by God to do that. I really would say anything more than a 10-day fast, you need to do that. Really a 5-day fast. You make sure you're being directed by God. Daniel fasted.
Daniel fasted for 10 days. And the type of fast that Daniel did was, he just drunk water and vegetables. And in other words, he strayed away from wine and strong drink and meat. Amen? And that type of fast, you can go. Now, if I was going to do maybe a 40-day fast, the Lord lead me on, I would probably do it that way. Because when you pray and let the Lord know that you're going to go on the fast, you set the standards of how you're going to go on the fast. See, because sometimes I fast where I don't, you know, with no, just, you know, no water, no food. It's like 2 or 3 days or something like that. But sometimes I might go on extended fast. See, I got some habits I need to get rid of. Amen. Because I don't like missing no baseball game, no basketball game, no football game. And there's sometimes God had me go on a fast and I can't watch no games. I can't pick up the newspaper and look up the scores or nothing, because he's trying to, because sometimes I'm watching the game and God said, I want you to pray for Brother Childs. And I'll be like, Lord, after the game over, I'll pray for Brother Childs. And then after the game over, especially like last night, Notre Dame got beat so bad, I just went to sleep and I left Brother Childs out of the picture. Because I was mad because my team lost. So now look at me. I'm being disobedient because God told me to pray for Brother Childs. But the game was more important to me. And then after the game, I was mad because I didn't get the results that I wanted to get. So I did a tantrum and went to bed. And so now my brother, which needed prayer, I didn't pray for him because my mind was somewhere else. So sometimes God got to get that out of my system. Amen. Sometimes even in our movies, I tell my wife, I said, I did it a few weeks ago, and I told her, I said, we're watching all Christian movies all week. Because I like the blood, the guts, the shooting, give me a good ninja movie, they cutting heads off, I'm happy. Amen. So I had to go into our movie collection. And I began to take out movies like Courageous. And at first I started taking out a lot of, you know, Tyler Perry, Madea movies. But it wasn't falling in my spirit because they like to cuss in there. And so I quit playing those movies and I started, you know, playing other movies that was more spiritual. Tyler Perry have a good message, but in the middle of the message, sometimes we need to watch out what he's saying, because it ain't no shame. It's a shame that you smoking a blunt in the beginning of the movie, then you preaching at the end of it. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we got, you know, sometimes we cater to Hollywood and lose the full message that God has given us, not realizing if you give the full message that God has delivered, Hollywood will conform to what God is doing. We ain't got to back down to the devil. And we got too many Christians back down into the devil. Amen? Amen? Esther had to go before the king. So she assembled, she told Malachi, tell all the Jews, we're going to fast for 3 days. No eating, nor drinking for 3 days. If I perish, let me perish. In other words, she was willing to give her life. But that fast was to change the mind of the king, because the king was getting ready to destroy the people. And sometimes we got a fast because we got a president that's in the White House right now that's cuckoo for Cocoa Pops. And we need to be fasting for him. Because all the bills that he's trying to change deal with people in lower income or middle income. Care nothing about us. I'm sorry, I'm in that bracket. Amen. When Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, when he fell down, he didn't fall off a horse, he just fell down. I don't know what he was on. He was blinded for 3 days, and he didn't eat or drink the rest of that journey. So in other words, he fasted. There's a fast for healing. If you're fasting, if you're on medication, when you're fasting, consult your doctor if you can. And get direction on how to fast, because you still got to take your medicine. Amen. Unless God tells you to get off that medicine. If God didn't tell you to get off that medicine, take your medicine. Amen. If you got to take your medicine at 8 o'clock in the morning, you start your fast at 12. Amen. You determine your fast and make sure you stick to what you determine. There were some times in the scriptures where they fasted from morning to night. Your fasting is to empower you. It's to strengthen you, to get you focused. The third thing God was giving me was baptism. Baptism of the water and baptism of the Spirit. It's important for us to get water baptized. We had a baptism a few months ago, and I was talking to the pastor. He said, I don't even know. When was the last time we had baptism? That's just something that we have kind of got out of. I know it's an outward showing of an inward change, but it's still a part of our Christian walk. Amen. Because everyone I seen that came up there and got baptized, I seen how the Spirit was moving within them. Amen. Then we, other than water baptism, we also need Holy Ghost baptism. Because we need to be empowered. Yes, speaking in tongues is good, but tongues is the least gift. Paul said, I'd rather that you prophesy. Amen. Because if you prophesy, then you're edifying the body. When you speak in this tongue, you're edifying yourself. But let me also give you some direction. If we're in this service and someone stand up and begin to speak in tongues in our midst, to where they're taking over the service, there should be an interpretation. And if that person don't get an interpretation, tell that person to sit down. Until you get an interpretation. Unless God raise up maybe one, maybe two, they will get up. One will get up and give the interpretation. The other one will confirm the interpretation. And if nobody do that, you go back to that person that spoke in tongues and you ask them, did God give you something? And they should be able to get up and give us an interpretation of the tongue. There's no reason for somebody to be speaking in tongues and we don't get them. It's a message to the church and we don't receive the message.
Amen. 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 Amen.
If there's no message in your tongue, it's you. Three people speaks in speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit speaks. You speak and the devil speak. So two out of three ain't right. You make up your mind which one is right. In this church, the one that's right is going to be speaking. Because the Bible also gives discernment of the Spirit. And then sometimes somebody have the discernment of the Spirit and sit down and don't get up and say, that's not of God. If God give you that, if somebody's speaking, it is not of God. You need to stand up and say that it's not of God. The Bible says rebuke that others may fear. That's what happened in the Azusa Street Revival. When no demons got up and started speaking. Everybody was looking at Seymour to correct it. But the person that corrected was the person that God gave it to. Sometimes God give you a correction and you don't give it to the body. And then you drive home, you're talking to your kids, you're talking to your husband, you're talking to your wife. I don't believe that happened. And they didn't do nothing about it. The pastor didn't say nothing. The elders didn't say nothing. The ushers didn't say nothing. and they just let it go for. And you don't realize God, you were the one that God gave it to say something. Oh, I'm preaching now. The Bible says do things decently and in order. The scripture also tell us that the prophecy is subject to the prophet. In other words, if you out of control, you have control over your prophecy. If God give you a word, he will allow you at the right time to be able to give that, to deliver that. Amen. God is not the author of confusion. The fourth thing God gave me was communion. Taking up communion. And the Bible says, as often as you do this, it's in remembrance of me. Part of the reason why the disciples turned the world upside down, because the Bible says they went house to house, door to door, breaking bread. When they were saying they were breaking bread, what they were doing, they were breaking the body. They were taking communion every time they went to one another's house. And they did this thing daily. They didn't do it once a month. They did every time. If I go to Brother Child's house, I come in, he break the bread. Pull out the juice. And we had communion. Because guess what? Every time they took communion, they remembered that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. They remember what Jesus did for them. When we take communion, it's for us to remember what Christ did on the cross for us. That's the only reason why we take communion. And I'm going to mess y'all up on the fifth one. And I almost did this one today. I almost did it. It might still, I don't know. Feet washing. To show you how important feet washing is, when Jesus began to wash his disciples' feet, Peter stood up and said, "Lord, you can't wash my feet." Jesus told Peter, said, "If I can't wash your feet, then you have no part with me." In other words, I don't even know you. If I cannot wash your feet, we are not in fellowship together. That's how important feet washing was. What it was, feet washing was a way that, you know, to welcome somebody, hospitality, to welcome into your home. When we welcome, we need to welcome one another in the body of Christ by washing one another's feet. Oh, I messed up. I know I wouldn't get a lot of amens on that one. Because y'all up here, some folks got toe jam, some people ain't washed their feet. Some people feet stink. Got calluses on their feet. But guess what? When you're washing that person's feet, whatever's on their feet, you anointing them. And God is going to heal whatever condition that's on those feet. That's the purpose. That's why we need to wash one another's feet. To let one another know I'm humble. It humbles you. We too proud. We come to church. We got our best suit on. We got our best dress on. And then sometimes God wanted, we want to shout and we can't shout and say, "I might sweat." I paid too much for this dress. Amen. I'm gonna mess with my wife. I remember back in the 70s, it was a Funkadelics concert. We wasn't saved. And there was a good reason to get in the front. Okay? You didn't have to bring nothing with you. And I remember them opening up the doors. And I grabbed her hand. I said, "Come on, let's go." And so we running all the way to get up front. and her heels broke on her shoe. I seen her grow, I seen her reach down, grab that shoe, and didn't miss a step. Didn't miss a step. Imagine if the people of God start having that same mentality about coming to the house of God. Sometimes we stay at home because we broke a fingernail. I broke my nail. I can't come to church today. And I thought Eldon was gonna get beat up this morning talking about people's hair. Talking about it's been a bad hair day. I was sitting over there. I told Brother John, I said, some people paid a lot of money for their hair. Amen. Some of us, if our hair not, you know, not the way we wanted to have it, we stay home. We don't have the shoes to match the purse or to match the suit or to match the dress. We stay at home. The Bears are playing today, or the Patriots are playing today, or the Bucks. The Bucks are losing today. Only team they beat was my Bears. That's a shame, man. That's one of the games they won. But we have all these different reasons why we don't come to the house of God. And the Bible says, forsake not yourself, to assembling yourself together as a manner of some is. We come to the house of God.